This morning on WCHL, today is Veterans Day. Do something nice for a vet today. It's also RSVP Day, where more than 100 restaurants in our community pledge 10% of their proceeds to the Interfaith Council for Social Services.
This year is our 26th year. We've got 114 restaurants that are signed up.
Why not take a veteran out for a meal? The 2014 election is in the books, and you know what that means. The campaigning for the 2016 election has already started. And since the elections, advocates for public transit in both Orange and Wake counties have reason to believe that Wake will soon be on board with the three-county transit plan that also includes Durham. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill coverage of traffic and weather together. And WCHL Championship Sports this morning. After the bye week, Carolina head coach Larry Fedora says his team is refreshed and ready for the home stretch. And
in a word, the Carolina Panthers are bad.
That's this morning in our Chansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
7:07, 47 degrees in Chapel Hill. Look for a lot of sunshine today. Our high today in the upper 60s, about 68, ought to be our high. More good weather for tonight and then tomorrow as well. Today is Veterans Day. It's also RSVP Day, where more than 100 restaurants right here in our community pledge 10% of their proceeds to the Interfaith Council for Social Services in its effort to feed the hungry. It's one of the IFC's biggest annual fundraisers. Last year's RSVP Day raised nearly $21,000. RSVP stands for Restaurant Sharing 10%. The two V's are Roman numeral fives. It was launched 26 years ago by Irene Brigaman, and the IFC keeps it going today with the help of Irene and hundreds of local community members and business leaders. Brigaman and IFC President John Dorward spoke with WCHL's Aaron Keck about today's special occasion.
It is a fundraiser, Aaron, for our food programs, both the community kitchen and the food pantry. This year is our 26th year. We've got 114 restaurants that are signed up this year, which is actually a little bit higher than usual. So we had a really good year on recruiting. We have a couple of restaurants in Hillsboro. We've got a bunch of them in Carborough and Chapel Hill. And actually, George Bakashaw signed up all of his restaurants this year. So we've got four or five different groups over in Durham. So wherever you are, wherever you work, it's really easy to take part in this one. And this is the easiest fundraiser you'll ever do. You go out and eat. Stuff yourself. It's a wonderful opportunity.
And I'm looking at the list of participating restaurants, and there's something for everyone. Obviously.
There is.
There's so many good places here.
And whatever you like, it's there.
And RSVVP, incidentally, stands for Restaurant Sharing 10%, or VV, 5 and 5%.
When we first got started, or when Irene, I shouldn't even say we, I mean, I wasn't here then, but when Irene first started this 26 years ago, what was it, 40-some?
43. Yeah. And we made $6,200. Right. Last year, we signed up 102 restaurants, and we made a little over $20,000.
That's awesome.
Almost $21,000. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a real big deal for us. It really helps us with that. And I'd also point out that Tuesday is actually Veterans Day this year. So if you're trying to support veterans, this is a good opportunity. I went back and I looked today. Almost 500 veterans that we helped last year alone. So it's a big deal. There are a lot of veterans out there that could use a little help these days.
And let me turn to Irene Brigaman, who, again, as John just mentioned, started this all those many years ago. What was the impetus for beginning it? It's a great idea.
Well, actually, the idea came to us from the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina, and they got the idea from Greater Baltimore, where waitresses and waiters were given their tips and said, we ought to get the owners involved in this. I said, I think I could get this going in Chapel Hill alone the first year as a pilot program, and we could learn from what we do, and that was the start of it. So we did it the very first year just with Chapel Hill.
And boy, did she get it started. Irene Brigaman has done a great job all these years. She just happens to be today's WCHL hometown hero. Head out to eat at participating restaurants all day long. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, doesn't matter. 10% of the proceeds at participating restaurants will benefit the IFC's hunger relief programs, the community kitchen, and the food pantry. WCHL is proud to be a sponsor of this event alongside the Daily Tar Heel and the Chapel Hill News. And in case you're wondering, there are six restaurants in our community who participated every single year. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant at the Carolina Inn, Crook's Corner, El Palio at the Siena Hotel, Sal's Pizza and Restaurant, the Weather Van at Southern Season, and the Weaver Street Market Cafe in Carrboro. Today, RSVVP Day, take a veteran out for a meal. A special Veterans Day commentary coming up in just a little while from Fred Black on WCHL. North Carolina is launching an initiative aimed at serving active duty military, veterans, and their families. Governor Pat McCrory's office announced on Monday that the state has established NC4 Vets. That is NC, the number 4, Vets. The Department of Administration's Division of Veterans Affairs calls it a one-stop shop information resource launched in conjunction with other state agencies. The first major product is the NC4 Vets Resource Guide, an interagency catalog with 2,000 data points detailing job, education benefits, and health services across the state. The NC4 Vets Resource Guide is part of a multimedia effort that includes a website and a toll-free call center as well. The governor announced the program during a trip to the North Carolina Veterans Home in Salisbury, where he presented the Order of the Longleaf Pine to World War II-era vet Claude Lyerly, who recently turned 103 years old. All seven seats on the Wake County Board of Commissioners will be filled by Democrats starting next month after four Republican commissioners lost re-election bids on November 4th. That gives advocates for public transit in both Orange County and Wake County reason to hope that Wake will soon be on board with a three-county plan that also includes Durham. That's what a couple of them are saying, at least, and WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
I've been kidding my friend Nancy McFarland, the mayor of Raleigh, for a long time because, as I tell her, that you know, Bill and I, we're working with our commissioners and bringing a rail line to Durham and Orange County by 2026. And what are you doing, Nancy?
That's Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt referring to fellow mayors Bill Bell of Durham and Nancy McFarland of Raleigh in a recent conversation with WCHL. Joking aside, Kleinschmidt says he's sympathetic to McFarland's plight, adding that she's been working with mayors for multiple Wake County municipalities for a long time to make a transit plan happen and support is strong.
The municipal leaders really want this transportation system to be three counties instead of just the two that it is today. But it was those commissioners that were the obstacle. They were just not going to even allow the voters of Wake County to vote on whether they wanted to participate.
Under Republican control, the Wake Board of Commissioners sat on a long dormant bond referendum for a half-cent sales tax toward a tri-county public transit plan. It includes a light rail system and expanded bus service. Last Tuesday, four Republican commissioners, Joe Bryan, Rich Gianni, Phil Matthews, and Paul Coble, were defeated in the midterms by their respective Democratic opponents Sig Hutchinson, Jessica Holmes, Matt Calabria, and Raleigh attorney John Burns. Burns campaigned vigorously on the transit issue, as did his fellow newcomers to the Wake commissioners.
We had two issues that we spoke about everywhere we went. Number one was the public schools, which was clearly the voters' most pressing concern in this election. And number two was transit and transportation infrastructure.
A bump in the road remains. The state legislature changed the rules so that a bond question can't get before voters until May 2016 at the earliest.
It may be that we could get it done earlier if the state legislature lets us do that.
As reported in the News and Observer, Wake County also needs to raise between $1 and $2 billion for school construction, which complicates matters further. While 2026 may seem like a long way away, it's not that long when planning for a transit project of this size. There's a concern that Wake County may fall too far behind.
The sooner we can act, the better, because Orange County, as you know, and Durham County are ahead of us by a few years now, and if we wait another two, they'll be that much further ahead of us, and this should be a regional effort. And you can't be a regional effort if only two-thirds of your region are advancing it.
The new Wake County commissioners will be sworn in on December 1st. On December 8th, there will be a Wake County Transit kickoff meeting at the Raleigh Convention Center at 6 p.m. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
WCHL News Time is 7:15. This is Ron Stutz, and time now to turn to your traffic and weather. And traffic is brought to you this morning by the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce. Ladies and gentlemen, here she is, Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. Looks like traffic just starting to pick up around the area. 15501, though, still in good shape. No problems between 40 and Franklin Street in either direction. 40 eastbound starting to pick up, but still remaining delay free from 54 through the Durham Freeway. And north and southbound Durham Freeway looking good between 40 and downtown Durham. You can be a WCHL Road Warrior. If you see anything on the roads, give us a call 967-8363 or safely tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
I want to throw out a great big congratulations this morning to Jane Shears, our grand prize winner in the Mark Vitale Nationwide Bahamas Basketball Giveaway presented by Continental Tire. Last night at R&R Grill, we had a big drawing, and Jane was the grand prize winner.
She was having so much fun. Granted, I would be, too, if I knew I was going to the Bahamas.
Well, her husband, Steve, was pretty happy, too.
Oh, yeah, Steve.
She said...
wanted to go.
He said he had to talk her into coming. She was thinking, I'm not going to go. I don't really have much of a chance to win.
Oh, wow.
Which goes to prove that you should always listen to your husband.
Oh, that's funny stuff. Too early for this.
Yeah, really. It's so early, you don't even have a comeback. Wow. Well, anyway, Jane Shears is our winner. She is going to win 4 nights in the Bahamas, Paradise Island, and 3 games. She and Steve will watch 3 games the Tar Heels play in the Battle for Atlantis basketball tournament.
That sounds so fun.
That's over Thanksgiving weekend. What a great way to spend it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, thanks for everybody for coming out last night. We had a great time and hope you did too. And you never know where we're going to send you next year. It's always something.
Because it's a year away. We haven't figured it out yet.
Exactly. thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again in just a few minutes here. The Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce is presenting the Salute to Community Heroes on December 11th. Nominate somebody you know to receive recognition for their volunteerism and commitment to our community. Visit carolinachamber.org/salute. The deadline for nominees is November 19th. The Salute to Community Heroes. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather looks like this. Partly sunny, high today in the upper 60s, starting out at 47 degrees this morning. Tonight, we're going to have mostly clear skies, some fog rolling in after midnight. Low tonight, down around 45. On Wednesday, sunny with a high of 70. Wednesday night, another clear night with a low in the low 40s. Then on Thursday, partly sunny in the morning. Then we will get some clouds in the afternoon on Thursday with a chance of rain. Much cooler temperatures as well, with a high only about 50 degrees.
Good morning from 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. You're waking up with Ron Stutz. And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels.
WCHL News Time is 7:18. Carborough Alderman will consider a plan to improve the town commons when the board meets tonight. The plan involves paving the gravel walkway around the commons and reconfiguring some parking spaces. A later phase would extend the lawn in front of Town Hall by moving the entryway closer to the fire station and blocking off part of the intersection of Laurel Avenue and Main Street. If approved, the project would cost slightly less than $900,000. The board will also talk about whether mediation is the best way to work out stakeholder concerns related to the proposed Lloyd Farm development across from Carborough Plaza. The plan to bring a mix of retail and housing to what is currently a 40-acre farm has sparked a lot of debate among neighbors, developers, and the family who owns the land. Town leaders could spend up to $15,000 to have mediators at the Dispute Settlement Center assess the situation and report back to the board early next year. The board will meet tonight at 7:30 in Carborough Town Hall. County commissioners will meet tonight to review a request from the Chapel Hill Town Council to help finance the Ephesus Fordham redevelopment plan. Town officials are asking Orange County to help pay down the debt on the multi-million-dollar renewal plan by contributing either 50% of the new tax revenue from redevelopment or by paying half of the annual debt service payments. This would cost Orange County $6.9 million over the course of 18 years. If commissioners decide to participate in the plan, the board will also discuss how to best offer child care subsidies for working families now that funding and eligibility cuts made by the General Assembly have taken effect. The board will meet tonight at 7 o'clock at the Whitted Meeting Room in Hillsboro. And news around town this morning. Congratulations to Carborough High School student Catherine Hand, who's been selected to play trombone in the U.S. Army All-American Marching Band. Catherine is one of only 125 high schoolers in the country to be selected for this band. The band will play at halftime in the U.S. Army All-American Bowl, Thursday, January 3rd, at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. Congratulations to Catherine Hand, once again a student at Carborough High School. 7:20 at WCHL, and time to turn to championship sports. And we got to talk a little Carolina football this morning. Tar Heels back on the schedule for this Saturday. College football, really, the season is winding down here. The urgency in the Carolina locker room is high. Tar Heels have to win two of their last three contests in order to qualify for a postseason game. After the bye week, UNC head coach Larry Fedora says his team is refreshed and ready to go for the home stretch. WCHL's Matt Oakes reports.
Yet again, the 4-5 Tar Heels find their backs against the wall late in the season. Following a rough 47-20 loss at Miami, though, Coach Fedora says his team was able to recover in the week off and is now fully fit to take on the 4-5 Pittsburgh Panthers this Saturday at 12:30 p.m. in Keenan Stadium.
Had a really good practice, got everybody back in. They had a couple days of break there after our open week, and feel like we've gotten everybody fresh and everybody as healthy as we're going to get at this point, and raring to go to, you know, into this next game.
Sophomore place kicker Nick Weiler has struggled to emerge as a reliable alternative to senior Thomas Moore. Coach Fedora says Weiler has responded well in practice since his rough outing against the Hurricanes.
We've got competition there too. I mean, we didn't have an issue until that game, and then we had an issue, but guy was in a funk, didn't do well, and he's bounced back well and has had good practices, so, you know, we'll see what happens.
With that said, Coach Fedora insists the job is up for grabs. Both Moore and Weiler have been facing off over the bye week, and a starter will be named after Thursday's practice. Despite the inconsistency in the kicking game, Coach Fedora maintains belief in his players and says he won't hesitate to trot out the field goal team this weekend.
It doesn't really weigh on me until I get into the game. It's not a lot something that I really sit around and worry about. I mean, I really feel like we'll put a guy out there and he'll knock it in. I mean, I really do. So that position, you got to have some confidence. That's all there is to it.
The lopsided game at Miami left the Tar Heels in a sour mood. Coach Fedora says his team is anxious to ameliorate the situation with another crack at an ACC opponent.
Kids are hungry to get back out there. I mean, they know they didn't play well in that last one, and they don't like the taste in their mouth because of it. And I think they're anxious to get back out there and play football the way they can.
For the seniors, the window is closing on their time in a Carolina uniform. Coach Fedora says the Tar Heels need to seize the opportunity before them and leave everything out on the field in the coming weeks.
You only get so many opportunities to play this game. First of all, you know, you work all year. I mean, it's a full-time, 365-day go to work to get 14 opportunities or 12 opportunities. I mean, you're playing at home. We're running out of time. We're down to about 10 practices left in this season, and only so many opportunities that you go out there and do the thing you love. So, you know, you prepare as hard as you can. You go out and you play with great pride, and you play to go out there and win a football game.
The final fate of Coach Fedora's third season as Carolina skipper is hanging in the balance. UNC's last-ditch effort for a postseason bowl bid is being met with anxious energy and urgency by coaches, players, and fans alike. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The Carolina-Pittsburgh game this Saturday will be an early game, and our coverage will start at 9 o'clock in the morning with the very special UNC Healthcare Countdown to Kickoff presented by Stanley Martin Homes. We'll be broadcasting live from Hickory Tavern in Carborough. We hope you will come over and be a part of the fun. They got a great breakfast and brunch menu over there at Hickory Tavern. Good Bloody Marys and all kinds of ways you can celebrate. Plus 54 big screen TVs. So come spend a little time with us. Countdown to kickoff will be followed immediately by the Good Sports with Artsy and Bob Lee. I'll be there. Hope to see you there too, starting at 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. Carolina versus Pittsburgh. Now, last night the Carolina Panthers were in Pennsylvania as well, and they were playing in Philadelphia. Darren Sproles had two touchdowns. Mark Sanchez threw for two scores, and the defense sacked Cam Newton 9 times last night to help the Philadelphia Eagles beat the Carolina Panthers 45-21, and it wasn't even that close. It was a rout. Filling in for the injured Nick Foles at quarterback, Sanchez had 332 yards passing in his first start since December 30th of 2012. And Sproles returned a punt 65 yards for a score and also had an 8-yard touchdown run. Bradley Fletcher returned an interception 34 yards for a touchdown. Jordan Matthews had 138 yards receiving and two touchdowns. Eagles are now 7-2. Pretty good football team. They stayed on top of the NFC East. They're trying to repeat as division champions without Foles, their quarterback, who broke his collarbone in a win at Houston last week. And certainly if last night's game is any indication of what Mark Sanchez can do, then they're going to be in good shape because he had a good game last night. Panthers are 3-6-1, hardly looking like the team at all that won the NFC South last year. Cam Newton was sacked repeatedly throughout the night, 5 times in the first half, 4 times in the second half. Then it ended up being 9 sacks. And another question is, why did Cam Newton play the entire game? I haven't figured that one out yet. Only he and Coach Ron Rivera know the answer to that question. But it just makes no sense in a route like that with a game the result is completely out of control. You know that the Panthers are not going to win, yet Cam Newton stays in there to the very last play. Just makes no sense. 7:26 at WCHL. Art has more on the Panthers coming up on WCHL.
Art Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
In a word, the Carolina Panthers are bad. This is Art Chansky with Tuesday Sports Notebook. Looking back, anyone who believed the Carolina Panthers could come close to matching the 12 wins of last season was just whistling past the graveyard. Rarely has a team gone from good to bad as quickly as the NFL Cats. Massive losses on both sides of the ball and clearly insufficient replacements have left the burden on Cam Newton's injury-racked body. Once the team's biggest rushing threat, Newton's game has gone to the dogs, where he needs to be a greyhound. What would you expect when all-pro wide receiver Steve Smith was released? An underrated wideout Brandon LaFell opted for free agency and signed with the Patriots. That leaves lot to learn rookie Kelvin Benjamin and some journeymen to try to catch Newton's hurried, wobbly throws. He's not a serious threat to run with the ball like when completely healthy. He was sacked 9 times through 3 picks and lost a fumble in the embarrassing 45-21 loss at Philadelphia. The retirement of left tackle Jordan Gross has helped to leave Newton virtually unprotected against teams that are blitzing on almost every down. Without injured fullback and great blocker Mike Tolbert, the Eagles were pile-driving past the depleted O-line all night. Eugene Robinson was screaming on the Panthers' radio network to throw to tight end Greg Olsen. But Robinson must know why the team's best receiver had only caught 4 passes in the last 2 games. It's called double coverage. Olsen grabbed 6 Monday night, but half of them were in mop-up time. The once-dominating defense lost Captain Munnellan to the Vikings and Mike Mitchell to the Steelers. And, of course, all-pro defensive end Greg Hardy took himself out of the season with the NFL's latest hot button, a domestic violence charge. Thus, a shutdown defense last season has given up 34 points a game in 7 losses and a tie over the last 8 weeks. That won't work opposite an offense that is easy to stop, out of sync, and very predictable. The only thing giving the Panthers any hope is that they are still in the race to win the wide-open NFC South, the weakest division in the NFL. But right now, Carolina's franchise clearly looks like the weakest of the weak. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Professionals know that to get the job done right, you need the right tools. That's why pros like you turn to Liquid Nails brand adhesives and sealants. But there's an even better reason to use the brand that the pros trust. Now through December 31st, you can get up to $60 cash back on Liquid Nails brand purchases. The more you buy, the more you save. So stock up on Liquid Nails brand products today and get up to $60 cash back. Visit liquidnails.com/rebate for more information and to download the mail-in rebate form today. Additional terms and conditions apply. See website for full details.
As bright fall days slide into frosty winter nights, the good cooking at Glass Half Full Restaurant and Wine Bar will warm your soul. How about a bowl of savory lentil soup to chase the chill? Freshly rolled beet pasta makes splendid lasagna. Does duck confit or braised lamb shank with root vegetables pair nicely with a glass of assertive red wine? Cold weather makes me hungry. Come to Glass Half Full in downtown Carrboro for lunch or dinner and see what's cooking now.
I'm Betsy Bertram from Townsend Bertram & Company. This Friday, downtown Carrboro kicks off the holiday season with Light Up Carrboro, an evening of shopping, dining, and good cheer. Luminaries will line the downtown streets, Second Friday Art Walk will be in full swing, and local businesses will be open late for shopping and dining. Plus, you don't want to miss our annual tree lighting at Townsend Bertram & Company in front of Carmel. Live music starts at 6:30 and we'll turn the lights on at 7:30. Join us this Friday for Light Up Carrboro. Details at localcarrboro.com.
See you Friday.
Are you looking for new customers? Try our local deal brought to you by WCHL and the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce. You offer a deal to the community from your business and folks purchase it. Everybody loves a deal. With our local deal, your company is featured on 97.9 FM WCHL on the website at ourlocaldeal.com and through social media. Want to try the best marketing deal in town? Visit ourlocaldeal.com or call us at 919-933-4165.
If you're just waking up this morning wondering what kind of a day it's going to be, well, the answer is great. It's going to be partly sunny today, high today in the upper 60s. We're starting out at 47 degrees right now. Tonight, mostly clear, a little fog after midnight, overnight low in the middle 40s. And then tomorrow, another great day, sunny with a high around 70 degrees. Love it.
Chapelboro.com is more of what you live here for. If it's happening where you live, you can find it on 97.9 FM, WCHL's website, Chapelboro.com.
I'm Dave Barrett. Watch it in northern Wisconsin.
Shoveling, driving, slippery, a little dangerous.
For 16 inches of snow there. Sure was no holiday in Christmas, Michigan.
People were sliding off the roads because it is such a wet, heavy snow.
A lot more could fall there in the next couple of days.
Snowfall totals in excess of 18 inches for parts of Wisconsin and the UP of Michigan. And wind will also be a factor, creating blowing snow there as the Arctic air moves in.
That's WBBM meteorologist Megan Glaros.
High temperatures today, 9 in Billings, 26 Minneapolis, 36 for Kansas City. You will know when the Arctic air arrives in your town because temperatures won't fall.
10 inches of snow in Minneapolis, WCCO-TV's Nina Moyney.
We had a lot of people say that it's just not fair. It's not fair because we didn't have that warm summer that everyone wants to have. It's just been really mild throughout June, below average temperatures all along, and then who could forget last winter?
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
732 at WCHL. We have 47 degrees this morning in Chapel Hill. It's 46 this morning in Carborough. Also 46 in Hillsborough this morning. Our weather sounds downright tropical compared to some of those places that CBS News is talking about. And speaking of tropical, congratulations to our grand prize winner in the Mark Vitale Nationwide Carolina Basketball Bahamas Giveaway presented by Continental Tire. Jane Shears, our grand prize winner, she will be spending four nights in the Bahamas on Paradise Island and watching three Tar Heel basketball games in the Battle for Atlantis tournament. Thanks to everybody for coming out last night. Jane Shears, our grand prize winner. Today is Veterans Day. It's also RSVVP Day, so a very special day in our community. We have a special Veterans Day commentary coming up in just a few minutes from Fred Black. And of RSVVP Day, more than 100 restaurants right here in our community pledge 10% of their proceeds to the Interfaith Council for Social Services to feed the hungry. It's one of the IFC's biggest annual fundraisers. It's a big deal. Last year's RSVVP Day raised almost $21,000. RSVVP stands for Restaurant Sharing 10%. Actually, the two V's are Roman numeral fives. It was launched 26 years ago by Irene Brigeman. She's still working on it every year. The IFC and Irene keep it going, even today, with the help of hundreds of local community members and business leaders. And there are so many participating restaurants. Brigeman and IFC President John Dorward spoke with Aaron Keck about RSVVP.
It is a fundraiser, Aaron, for our food programs, both the community kitchen and the food pantry. This year is our 26th year. We've got 114 restaurants that are signed up this year, which is actually a little bit higher than usual. So we had a really good year on recruiting.
That is IFC President John Dorward, and we have an interview with him and Irene Brigeman on our website at chapelboro.com. Head out to eat at participating restaurants all day long. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, doesn't matter. 10% of the proceeds at participating restaurants will benefit the IFC's hunger relief programs, the community kitchen, and the food pantry. WCHL is proud to be a sponsor of this event every year alongside the Tar Heel and the Chapel Hill News. And in case you're wondering, there are six restaurants in our community who participated every single year. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant at the Carolina Inn, Crook's Corner, El Palio at the Siena Hotel, Sal's Pizza and Restaurant, the Weather Vane at Southern Season, and Weaver Street Market Cafe in Carborough. The 2014 election is in the books, and you know what that means. Campaigning for the 2016 election has already started, unfortunately. Last week, conservative commentator Ben Carson became the first to officially declare his candidacy for president. Many more are sure to follow. What can we expect in 2016? Will Democrats be able to recover from the big losses this year? WCHL's Aaron Keck spoke last week with public policy polling director Tom Jensen.
We could have sat here on election day in 2008 when all of the elections were breaking for Democrats, 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 and say, well, 2014, when all of those same Senate seats are up again, might be a tough year for Democrats just to defend the seats that they have. 2016 might be the other way around for Republicans, because those are all the Senate seats that they won in 2010, which was a great year for them. So maybe a little bit easier picture for the Democrats. But what do the Democrats need to do in order to turn things around in congressional races, at least in 2016?
Yeah, I mean, the Senate battleground is much better for Democrats in 2016. You look at some of the states with Republican incumbents, and it includes Illinois, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Florida, New Hampshire. Those are all states that President Obama won two times. So I think that Democrats certainly will be in a position to win a fair number of Senate seats back next time. You look at the congressional picture, though, the U.S. House races, I mean, I think 9% of races in the whole country were decided by single digits.
And as public policy polling director Tom Jensen speaking with Aaron Keck, you can listen to more comments from Jensen on our website. We have at least a couple of interviews there on chapelboro.com. After Tuesday's election, North Carolina has a new senator and a new set of exit polls to analyze. Out of all the votes cast in the Senate race, only 6% were submitted by college-aged people. That's much lower than any other age group. Andy Willard of Carolina Connection talked to younger voters to find out exactly why.
There were no blood or tears shed during Rachel Rondo's mission to vote, but it took a lot of sweat for the UNC junior to actually cast her ballot.
I had to go to my original polling place, register my long address, walk about a mile and a half back to my new polling place, and then finally I got to cast my vote.
Rondo says she's proud of herself for going to vote, but the whole process left her feeling frustrated.
When I first realized I was in the completely wrong place, I was like, oh, never mind, I don't want to do this. And then I was like, no, I should do this, come this far. Then after a certain point, it just made me angry.
She's certainly not alone. Younger voters often talk about how frustrated they are with politics, and when they do decide to vote, it only gets worse on election day as they struggle to find their precinct. Kim Hong is a junior at UNC and a member of Ignite NC, an organization that fights against voter suppression. She says the laws passed by the General Assembly, which eliminated on-site voter registration, confused many younger voters.
I was also out at the precinct near UNC's campus, and a lot of students there, like, couldn't even vote there because their precinct was changed, because their address was changed, because they didn't know about the new laws.
The exit polls for North Carolina show that the turnout for people under the age of 30 was only about 12% of the total vote. And 70% of the votes were cast by those who were more than 40 years old. Farrell Guillory, a UNC professor who studies Southern politics, says that the turnout for this election was not an accurate reflection of the population.
And if you look at the exit poll, what you see is the turnout tended to be among older people, whiter people, somewhat less diverse than a general election.
He said that even with the new legal requirements on voting, there are other factors that are in play when younger voters don't make it to the polls.
Older adolescents, young adults, they may not have settled down and formed deep roots in a community that gives you extra incentive to go vote.
Mackenzie Coey is a UNC senior, and she says that she had the intention of voting, but just didn't follow through because her voting site had changed.
I could lie and say that I didn't vote because I didn't have time, but I make time for things that I want to do. And voting, unfortunately, did not make the cut for this. And I think it was mostly because I was confused with all the new voting laws about where I was supposed to go.
Just like Rondo, it was the rules that were the real barrier. So for millennials, where there's a will, there might not always be a way when it comes to voting. In Chapel Hill, I'm Andy Willard.
Andy Willard is a reporter with Carolina Connection, the radio news magazine at the UNC School of Journalism and Mass Communication. It airs here on WCHL every Saturday morning at 8:30 during the school year. All the students do a great job on that show, so I certainly recommend you listen to the show this coming Saturday. It will precede our coverage of Carolina football coming up. It is 7:40 at WCHL. Fred Black has a special Veterans Day commentary on the way. And coming up next, we'll talk with Nikki Morse about what's happening at Chapelboro.com.
We asked several members of the Cedars of Chapel Hill what they like best about living there. One of these is Jim Smith, Cedars member since 2010. Here's what Jim had to say.
The Cedars meant a lot to Jane and I, and let me give you one example of that. She was hurt on a trip when we were in Ireland in the fall of the last year. And after being air-evac'd back and admitted to the UNC hospital system, she was able to go to our rehab and physical therapy at our DuBose Health Center. This was so convenient for me, being a husband, because I could eat dinner with her. So it felt very comfortable. An aside to that is the fact that housekeeping was done for me. I did not have to do any of that. I didn't have to make up my bed. You know, we looked at about 10 to 12 places before we decided on the Cedars. And as a UNC grad, it just felt great to come back home and be a resident at the Cedars. My name is Jim Smith, and I'm a Tar Heel.
Thanks, Jim. To learn more about the Cedars lifestyle, visit cedarsofchapelhill.com.
At Jersey Mike's Subs, it's the little things that make all the difference. Every one of our Philly cheesesteaks are cooked fresh to order. We start with an authentic sub roll, baked in-house every day. Then we saute onions, our famous sweet peppers, and your choice of chicken or steak on our flat-top grill. Finish it off with melted cheesy goodness and perhaps a shot of chipotle mayo, and you've got a winner. Visit us at Jersey Mike's Subs on Elliott Road. Order online at jerseymikes.com.
WCHL, good morning, at 7:42. There he goes, Charlie Ferris, ladies and gentlemen. Charlie was at our big party last night down at R&R Grill. He, of course, main guy at Jersey Mike's, one of our sponsors. And R&R Grill was great to host us last night. This is a great party for a special event, isn't it?
Oh, it was a fun party. I really had a great time.
There is already Susan Murray, our Chapelboro photographer, was there last night taking pictures, as she always does.
Yep.
And there's already a big photo gallery up on our website today.
Yeah, it was really neat to look at all the pictures and reminisce over last night's event. It was really fun.
If you were there last night, you'll probably see yourself in one of those pictures. And maybe, you know, you might be identified, you might be in the background, but whatever. You can get kind of a taste. If you weren't there last night, you can get a taste of what happened by just looking at those pictures. So thanks to Susan Murray for doing that, and thanks to everybody for coming out last night.
Yeah, it was a nice crowd. Everybody had fun, and it was definitely a good time for all.
Again, congratulations to Jane Shears. I've known her for a long time. Her daughter, Mel, is the same age as my daughter, Cam, and they were friends in elementary school.
Oh, how neat is that?
I guess it's elementary school. Definitely, yes, elementary school. And so we've known each other for a long time. But just a very nice person. She's got a lot of friends who were really happy last night for her.
I bet.
And she and her husband, Steve, are going to be going to the Bahamas very soon.
See, and all this time I thought you were sucking up so you could get that extra ticket.
Well, I was joking last night and said, what you folks don't know is that if you win this thing, you have to take Art Chansky with you.
Oh, yeah. He seemed very excited when she won. And then her husband stepped up to the plate.
Yeah, exactly. But we had a lot of, you know, I feel kind of sorry for Doug Noel. He was the runner-up last year, and he was the runner-up this year.
Well, then maybe next year, three times the charm.
Wow.
I don't know.
I mean, it's like I told Roy after that, I said, it's like getting to the NCAA championship game 2 years in a row and not being able to win in the title game.
Ouch. Way to throw out a metaphor.
But really disappointed for him, but
right.
Really happy for Jane Shears, who really deserves it. And she actually got eligible by registering on our website, chapelboro.com. Doug Knoll had gotten into the contest by calling in on the WCHL Morning News.
So it's pretty, he's probably listening right now, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably so.
Yeah.
So sorry, Doug, but way to go, buddy. You got really close again. And what else is happening at chapelboro.com today?
Well, speaking of Art Chansky a little earlier, he's got his normal article about egg on UNC's face, and he discusses the Weinstein report and the UNC basketball program. Yeah. He's got seven pretty good points there to read about, so check that out. And also we have the link to vote Hillsboro in as America's coolest small town, and a reminder that the nominations are being taken until December 2nd. 2nd. So make sure you go on and vote. You can vote all the time if you want to.
That is really that is really a cool deal.
Yes, I am from Beverly Hillsboro, and I can tell you honestly, it's changed quite a bit in the last 10 years or so since I've graduated high school. So why are you looking at me like that?
10 years? Folks, she doesn't have to do math in this job.
I was hoping it would stick, you know?
You were hoping that would go right past me, but no. Sorry.
Anyway, it's really become a really cool town, so.
Doesn't compare to the 75 years since I graduated from high school, you know, so.
Give or take a 10 or years.
Oh, well.
I know. It can all be young like me.
Yeah, true. Anything else you want to fabricate
this
morning?
Actually, that's all I had because you threw out the Susan Murray thing already, so we talked about all the pictures and stuff like that. Yeah, you stole my thunder.
Oh, shoot.
I know.
Sorry.
I hate it when that happens.
You're all prepared to talk about the photo gallery, and I just...
Oh, it's okay.
Sorry about
that. You know, that's fine. Yeah. It takes, you know, at least I don't have to think about it too hard.
Yeah.
So, it was really cool that Roy Williams was out last night. I really enjoyed, I really enjoyed having him walk right past me, like, within inches. I'm like, great. Oh, my gosh, that's Roy Williams. I almost reached out to touch him, but I didn't.
He enjoyed it last night, and a lot of people wanted to pose for pictures with him and that sort of thing. And, you know, I think he really does enjoy being there. And last night, the winner's coconut had to match Roy's coconut. And I always said, you know, it's a dream just to think that my coconut would ever match Roy's.
Oh, it's so inappropriate.
But, yeah, I know. But Jane Shears was the winner. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thanks to Roy. Thanks to all our sponsors for being there last night. Thanks to R&R Grill. And thanks to the WCHL and Chapelboro staff for putting all that big party together. It was a lot of fun. So, at any rate, you got anything else?
No, I got nothing else. You stole everything I had.
All right. Well, Fred Black has today's Memorial Day, Veterans Day commentary coming up right now. In fact, let's go ahead and do that.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Fred Black. I saw something in print the other day where the word veteran had an apostrophe S added to it. I always react to that because Veterans Day doesn't belong to the veterans, so no apostrophe is needed. All across the nation on 11-11-11, that is, the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, we will pause to honor and remember all the living and dead who served honorably in war and peace. It belongs to all of us. We have about 21.5 million veterans in the United States. In North Carolina, we have some 775,000, and in Orange County, about 6,400. About 74% of our veterans served during wartime, and 35% are Vietnam War era veterans, and that's equal to those who served in our war since 1990. The median age of North Carolinians is 61. The majority of veterans are 45 or older, and 38% of us are 65 or older. 91% of North Carolina veterans are males, 9% females. So what's the point of all these statistics? I think we should know a little about our veteran population. And it's also important to know that in some cases, way too many of our veterans are hurting. Many of our veterans have serious health issues. They need jobs. And it's estimated that some 13% of our homeless are veterans. But we really don't know the accurate number. That says a lot. We need to hold our elected officials and all elected officials accountable for what is done to support veterans, and especially for those in the greatest need. You don't have to be a veteran to advocate, just someone who cares. I'm honored to be a veteran. Happy Veterans Day. This is Fred Black.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Hello, Eddie.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Cleaver. My, doesn't your home look lovely?
Why, thank you, Eddie. The brokers from Terra Nova were here staging our home.
Staging? Are you putting on a play?
No, Eddie. Staging means getting our home to look its very best. The professionals at Terra Nova sure know what they're doing.
That's neat.
Would you like to stay for dinner, Eddie? We're having roast beef.
No, thank you, Mrs. Cleaver. We're having squab, and I need to tell my folks all about the awesome brokers at Terra Nova.
Online at terranovaglobal.com.
Hey, I'm Sarah Cooney, owner of the Root Cellar Cafe and Catering. You've noticed this Foster's Market Chapel Hill, but we've recently changed our name and look. We've stayed true to the concepts that made Foster's legendary. We've also added some new menu items that we're excited to share. We've expanded our catering and are ready to make your holiday entertaining a breeze. From family gatherings to company parties, think of the Root Cellar for delicious food. Made right, right here. Download our catering menu at rootcellarchapelhill.com.
Thousands of people around the country are switching from smoking to vaping. This is the Vapor Girl telling you that I turned a lifetime of chain smoking into vaping. Our customers find vaping is cleaner, healthier, and they love our hundreds of flavors that we create right here in Chapel Hill from homegrown tobacco. The Vapor Girl has everything you need to make the switch yourself. No more cigarette smell, no more cigarette butts. Visit one of the Vapor Girl retail locations in Chapel Hill, Durham, and Pittsburgh, each with a vapor bar for sampling. For more information, go to thevaporgirl.com.
Time now for traffic and weather together. Ladies and gentlemen, just ahead of Wayne Pond, here is Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. Looks like 54 eastbound, heavily traveled now in segments as you make your way from Fordham Boulevard to the 40 access. Once you access 40 eastbound, expect lanes starting to fill up as you head towards RTP between 751 and Highway 55. You can be a WCHL Road Warrior. If you see anything on the roads, give us a call, 967-8363, or safely tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
And this look at the traffic has been brought to you by the Carolina Inns, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar, where you can savor delectable cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients created by Executive Chef James Clark and his talented culinary team. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. Time now to turn to your Chapel Hill Carborough weather, and that's brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. It is 47 degrees right now, partly sunny, high today in the upper 60s. Tonight we're looking at clear skies, a little fog after midnight, overnight low in the middle 40s. And then tomorrow on Wednesday, sunny with a high of about 70 degrees. And Dickie's Barbecue Pit is on the Chapel Hill side of Durham, I like to say, right next to New Hope Commons. Eat in, call ahead for takeout, order in advance, or arrange for catering at dickies.com. Well, apparently Wayne Pond has overslept this morning. I don't know.
Well, he's got that option. He's at home, right?
He's not calling, so I guess we'll just move right past the word of the day. Maybe he'll call in the next minute or so. You know, Wayne's pretty dependable for an old guy. You
for
know?
An old guy.
So
so wrong.
Well,
look,
well, there he
see?
Is. Look, we woke
he
him up.
He is.
Wayne Pond, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm not going to tell you the real problem here.
Oh, I feel like thankful for that.
I'm not sure that we want to know.
A little bit of soap opera there. All right, guys. Well, I hope it's not too late.
No.
Yesterday, we did, what did we do yesterday? Devil's Advocate. Remember, I told you we were going to do some terms and rather than words.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to the rest of the week.
I'll bet you are. All right, the term of the day today is yeoman's service. Yeoman's service. I'm assuming one, if not both of you, can spell the word yeoman.
Yeah.
Make it possessive and add the word service. Yeoman's service. All right, Nikki, I'm going to pick on you this morning.
Oh,
what is this,
joy.
What does this mean?
Well, I hope her spelling is better than her math.
Leave me alone. Well, I know it has to do with the military.
It does.
Yeah, so we'll go with that. And
how do you spell it, Nikki?
That's so wrong of you.
I know how to spell it.
We are in the same room, mister.
he's got a mean streak in him.
Hardly.
Contrary to popular opinion.
Oh, for heaven's sake. That's
all right,
ridiculous.
Well, it's all about efficient, useful, loyal, dependable service.
Y-E-O-M-A-N apostrophe S.
That's right. Yeoman's service. And again, the wordsmith says that it's a noun. I'd call it a phrase. But who's going to split hairs this early in the morning? Efficient, useful, loyal service. So we started with the devil's advocate. Now we're doing yeoman service tomorrow. Who knows what the wordsmith has in store for us?
The shadow knows.
You too can know. Read Fitz and Fickle comic books.
Well,
isn't that how it went?
Well, you provide yeoman service every day. So in the back of my mind, when I was making fun of you, I still thought that you would call.
Well, we will settle this issue, and our attorneys will be in touch, okay?
Okay. Your people.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Talk to you in the morning.
Me
be good.
Too.
Have your people get in touch with my people. All right. Wayne Pond's Word of the Day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. What would you call anyone else?
I have no idea.
Next hour, we'll have an opportunity for you to call in and tell me the word of the day. Spell it, define it. If you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers. 7:55 at WCHL. Time now for the clean joke of the day. And here is the inimitable Nikki Morse.
All right. Thanks, Ron. And this one goes out to you.
Oh.
An elderly couple noticed they were getting a lot more forgetful.
Get you for that.
So they decided to go to the doctor. The doctor told them that they should start writing things down so they don't forget. So they went home, and the old lady told her husband to get her a bowl of ice cream. "You might want to write it down," she said. Well, the husband said, "No, I can remember that you want a bowl of ice cream." She then told her husband she wanted a bowl of ice cream with whipped cream. "Write it down," she told him. And again he said, "No, no, I can remember you want a bowl of ice cream with whipped cream." Then she said, "I want a bowl of ice cream with whipped cream and a cherry on top. Write it down." Again he said, "No, I got it. You want a bowl of ice cream with whipped cream and a cherry on top." So he goes to get the ice cream and spends an unusually long time in the kitchen, over 30 minutes. He comes out to his wife and hands her a plate of eggs and bacon. The wife stares at the plate for a moment, then looks at her husband and asks, "Where's the toast?"
You know, I knew I'd heard that joke one time before, but I couldn't remember how it ended.
Oh!
That says something right there, doesn't it?
A little.
Oh, boy. Thank you. 7:56 at WCHL.
This is Gerald Remoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Irene Brigman is today's WCHL Hometown Hero for her involvement with RSVVP, which is today.
RSVVP is a takeoff of Respondez-vous, s'il vous plaît. Put in an extra V to get 10%. So restaurants share 5 plus 5%. One day a year, restaurants promise to send us a check for 10% of their gross receipts, and it's always second Tuesday of November.
And how did it all get started?
I was sent as a representative of the Interfaith Council to the food bank as a fundraiser, and the food bank in Raleigh thought it would be a good idea to make this a triangle-wide event and invited an agency each from Durham and Chapel Hill to join them. And after 2 years, we couldn't get it off the ground. I said, "I'm ready to go. I have good help in Chapel Hill. We've got a radio station. We can get TV, public service ads, print media." So in 1989, we did it independently, and that's how we started out.
You are identified so closely with the RSVVP event because you've worked so hard over the years, and you've done an amazing job. You've had more participating restaurants here in Chapel Hill Carborough community than the entire triangle can put together.
Exactly.
So many years. Yeah. It speaks to the generosity of our community.
We have a great restaurant community, and bless their hearts, they are asked over and over and over again for dinners and fundraisers, and they keep coming back.
How many restaurants do you have?
This year we have 114 restaurants. Wow. All over town, every cuisine. We still have 6 restaurants we have done every year since we started in 1989. Carolina Crossroads, the Carolina Inn, Crook's Corner, Il Palio, Sal's Pizza and Restaurant, Weather Vane, and Weaver Street Market in Carborough.
You have been involved in so many charitable organizations and helping to make this community a better place. What drives you to do this?
I have been asked one time, "What's your pay?" I said, "My pay is people that need help get help." And there's so many different ways. Hunger is a problem that has a solution. So nice to be involved with something that you know there's results. Community Kitchen, over 85,000 meals have been served, a dramatic increase from previous years. The Emergency Food Pantry's been serving more than 4,000 families and individuals.
All day long, every meal counts. Please eat at a participating restaurant.
You can go to the IFC's website. It's ifcweb.org/events/RSVVP.
Let me recommend that you take a veteran for lunch.
What a good idea.
Irene, thank you very much for everything you do.
And thank you, Ron.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
46 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Look for a high today in the upper 60s with partly sunny skies. Really nice day on the way. Tonight, we'll be down to 45. Tomorrow, another nice day. Sunny with a high of 70. It's 8 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Snow, big chill.
Shoveling, driving, slippery, a little dangerous.
South Korean court finds ferry captain guilty
and sentenced him to 36 years in prison.
Apple's security flaw.
A lot of folks are very likely affected by this.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. From Big Sky Country into North Texas, millions of people are dealing with bone-chilling cold. Parts of the upper Midwest, the effort is on to clear a foot or more of snow. Jesse Schwartz lives in White Bear Lake, Minnesota.
Just finished our fall cleanups for the fall leaves and stuff, and yeah, did not expect this much snow. Not at all.
It's hitting early, but this Minneapolis commuter sounds like a woman at the end of her winter rope.
It's just so tough. It's just, pain.
At least two deaths are blamed on the treacherous conditions caused by the ice and snow. Nina Moyney of WCCO-TV in Minneapolis.
The big concern this morning are the temperatures, which have dipped here overnight into the low 20s, causing roads to freeze.
It's a little scary. Always the first time because people are relearning how to drive on snow.
Vehicles littered the sides of roadways with more than 700 accidents reported.
Came early, so we're going to have another long winter like last year.
And this patch of snow won't melt anytime soon. Forecasters say daytime highs in much of the upper Midwest will stay below freezing into next week. Overseas, President Obama's in the midst of 2 days of meetings with China's president in Beijing. Leaders at the Asia-Pacific summit are said to be closer to a trade deal. CBS's Peter Mayer's with the president in China.
Centuries after it was built, it's really not a stretch to say the Great Wall symbolizes today's Chinese policies. Just as the wall was used to guard against intruders, China remains wary, especially in dealings with its chief economic competitor, the U.S. President Obama hopes to break through today's wall of doubt in talks on trade and other issues. The goal, at least a promise of cooperation. Peter Mayer, CBS News at the Great Wall of China.
And the White House says Mr. Obama held three brief discussions with Russian President Vladimir Putin today on Ukraine, Iran, and Syria. Also in Asia, the captain of the South Korean ferry that sank back in April, killing more than 300 people, most of them students, has been sentenced to 36 years in prison. Reporter Jason Strother in Seoul says some believe that punishment is too lenient.
South Korean media have been quoting family members present at the courthouse saying that this was a travesty of justice, that they are heartbroken, that they've lost faith in the judicial system. Many of them wanted to see the captain be put to death or at least face a much longer sentence in jail.
Other crew members got 20 to 30 years. Convictions range from homicide to negligence. Here at home, the only person still being treated for the Ebola virus has recovered, has a clean bill of health, and heads home today. Dr. Craig Spencer has been treated in New York City, where Mayor Bill de Blasio says
he's suffered a lot these last few weeks, but he's come back really strong.
Spencer tested positive for the virus.